we have those days where things don't all go quite right, it's real easy to get distracted and think about the environment and what's happening and what's not happening and how are things going. We evaluate what's happening around us instead of focusing on what God is trying to say. And I want to see if we can bring it back into focus this morning just a little bit. Because I think God has such a powerful message of love for us that it'd be a shame if we left here and missed it. Today, that day that in our culture we recognize as the day that we celebrate love, on this day, consider, if you will, the greatest love of all, the love of God for us. It is an amazing reality. It is incredible. And it is so incredible, I want us to spend some time thinking about how much and what kind of love He has for us. The reason I want to do this is because you know God loves you. You have been fortunate enough to grow up in a culture, in a society in which you have heard of God your whole life, and you know that God loves you. But there's a big difference between knowing it and experiencing it. I want us to think together this morning about how we can experience the powerful love of God. All right? Look with me if you have your Bible with you this morning. We're in the book of Ephesians. We're going to start at chapter 3, starting at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 3, starting at verse 14. We just sang about the sweet hour of prayer. The reason that prayer can be such a sweet experience is because the one who listens when we pray loves us. And prayer becomes an experience of that love. And we begin in this verse as Paul prepares for a sweet hour of prayer. He's about to pray. Listen to what he says. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. In other words, this is the reason that I am about to pray. Well, if Paul, the apostle, if he is about to pray and he's about to tell me why he's going to pray, man, I want to find out. I want to pay attention to find out why he's going to tell me that he's about to pray. And so that's actually a pretty powerful introduction. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father. If he's going to pray, it's worth finding out why. So let's go. From whom? I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. This is one long sentence. Paul's real good at that. He is the master of what today we would call a run-on sentence. You know, English teachers would not really like having Paul in their class very much because he'll run on a sentence. There's twice in the New Testament where he says, and finally, and then he goes on for another chapter and a half. This is a great run-on sentence, so let's break it apart. Because, I mean, every phrase is good. This is the reason I bow down my knees before the Father. Here's the reason I pray. And as soon as he thought about the Father, he had to chase a little rabbit here. Father is the one from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name. In other words, God the Father is the one who established all of us. He created us, all right? That he would grant you, this is the prayer, I'm praying that God would give you something. What is he going to give us? According to the riches of his glory. In other words, he's still not told us what he's praying about yet. I'm praying that God the Father will give to you according to his riches in glory. Now, how much must that be? I mean, you know, when I go and buy Lisa a Valentine gift, which I have done on occasion, when I go buy her a Valentine gift, I go in shopping with a budget in mind. I know what I can afford to buy her. Understand that when Paul asks God to give something out of the riches of his glory, ain't no budget. There's no limit. The riches of God's glory, unlimitless. It's limitless, yeah. There's no way to confine it. It's amazing. And it's from that wealth that Paul wants us to receive something. We still don't know what yet. That he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man. That's the basic request, that he would give you strength from the Holy Spirit within. But why? So that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. And the sentence is finally over. But did you hear what he's praying for? He's praying that the Holy Spirit will give you the strength to be able to experience Christ within your heart so much that you will be rooted and grounded in love, in order that you may be able to comprehend that which you cannot fully know, the breadth, the length, the height, the depth of God's love. Man, that is a powerful prayer. I'm sure glad he prayed that prayer, because you and I are receiving the blessings. We're the answers to that prayer as the Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives to bring us to the point that we can understand that which we cannot comprehend. Look at some of what he says in this great prayer. First, he talks about being rooted and grounded in the love of God. Did you see that? In the last part of 17, so that you, being rooted and grounded in love. Again, not an English grammar expert. He's mixing metaphors. He's praying that we would be rooted in love. Now, what does it mean to be rooted? It means exactly what you're thinking of. When I say root, you think of a plant, right? That's what he's saying. That I want you to be so firmly rooted that you can't easily be pulled out. And when you're rooted in God's love, that's what's going to hold you firm. Psalm 1 talks about a tree that is planted by the river, and its roots are so strong that it cannot be removed. He says, I want you to be rooted. When the roots are growing down, it enables the plant to grow up. When the roots are strong, the plant can grow and bear fruit. And that's the goal, that we would grow and bear fruit. But if there's no root, there's no fruit. We've got to be firmly rooted in order to become what God wants us to be. And where should that root be settled? In the reality of God's love for us. But he mixes the metaphor and moves from a plant to construction. When he says grounded, that's a word that talks about the foundation that is laid before you build a building. And he says, I want you to be so firmly rooted and so firmly grounded on that foundation that you can build your life and it's not going anywhere. Some of you have spent the last 20 years building a life. Some of us have spent 50 years building a life. Some of you have spent 70, 80, 90 years building a life. Now here's my question. Upon what have you built that life? Some of us would have to admit that I have built my life on my checking account. What I'm about is making sure that I have money and that the people who follow me have money. Some of you would have to say, I have built my foundation upon my reputation. I want people to know how special I really am. I want them to know how smart I am. I want them to see me as a leader. And everything I do is based on how I want people to see me. Someone else would say that I have built my foundation upon education. I am the smartest person in the room, and I don't mind telling you that. The more I learn, the more I can impress. Because education is my foundation. Paul says, I'm praying for you that you'll build your life on the foundational principle that God loves you. Your entire life can be rooted in that reality and founded upon that truth that God loves you. Not just the universal truth that God loves us, but God loves me. Upon that reality, I build my life. God loves you. Is that the foundation upon which you've built your life? That's Paul's prayer, that we would be rooted in his love, that we would be grounded in his love, because it is from that we can grow. But notice also that there's one missing. God's message to us is all about love. And that's what I want us to catch, that God's message to us is all about love. If you think about it, you look at Scripture, why did God create us? Because He is love. Why did He give us the law? Because He loved us enough to try to protect us. Why does He guide us? Because He loves us. Why did He send Jesus? Because He loves us. The whole message of Scripture from Genesis to Revelation, the whole message of everything that He has been speaking to you throughout your life is a message of love. And so we learn that He speaks to us in the language of love. In 1 John at verse 4 and 16. And so we know and rely on the love God has for us. God is love. He is defined by the reality of love. When God wrote His word to reveal Himself to His people, what did He choose as the word that would reveal Himself to us? Love. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God, and God in them. It is the reality that helps us understand best who He is. And so, God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. He loved us enough that's what He did. And in 1 John, you know the Gospel of John 3:16, but pair that then with the epistle, 1 John 3:16. This is how we know what love is. And Jesus Christ laid down His life for us. The gospel says God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Why? The epistle tells us this is how we know what love is, that Jesus died. He laid down His life for us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. Paul continues that understanding of love in Ephesians chapter 5, where he says, and walk in the way of love, Jesus, just as Christ loved us and gave Himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. John 3:16, God so loved the world that He gave His Son. Why? 1 John 3:16, so that He could die for us. So what do we do about that? Now, we live in that love and we share it with those around us. You see, life is all about God's love. And so somebody came up to Jesus one time and he said, "Hey, what's the most important commandment of all?" And you know what he said, right? He said, "Love." The most important job that you have in this life, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. And a second one is like unto it, love thy neighbor as thyself. The most important job that you have is to love. Why? Because that's the reality that defines your Creator, love. Because everything He's done for you is all based on love. Therefore, if you are going to have the family resemblance, if you are a child of God, He's your Father, then you will bear the family resemblance, which is love. You remember, Jesus told His disciples that. He said, "By this, they'll know that you're My disciples if you have love one for another." In other words, folks will know that we belong to Him when we do life the way He does life, which is love. They'll know we belong to Him when we treat others the way He treated us, which is love. And so He says, let them know that you're Mine by doing what I do and being who I am, love. And so as we look into the power of this awesome love of God, notice that there are four dimensions to His love. He says that He's praying that Christ will dwell in our hearts through faith, that we may be rooted, grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth, length, height, and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge. Four dimensions that He mentions there. He speaks first of that we might be able to comprehend with all the believers, all the saints, what is the breadth of God's love, the breadth of it. And I take that to mean that it expands across all of humanity. I want you to just real quickly picture in your mind, and I promise we won't stay here long, picture in your mind the one person in this world that you like the least. Who is that one person that you really dislike? Now, you know what's amazing? God completely and totally and incredibly loves that person enough that He'd send His own Son to die for that person. And God loves you with the same love. It's the breadth of His love. God loves communists. Do you know that? God loves drug addicts and murderers and child molesters. God loves Methodists and Catholics and Pentecostals and Baptists. God loves Americans. God even loves Canadians. God loves black folk and white folk and brown folk and red folk and yellow folk and we don't know folk. It's the breadth of His love. There are no limits across the barriers and the boundaries that we place on ourselves. We divide us, but He loves us. It's the breadth of His love. And then it talks about not only the breadth of His love, but the length of His love. When does God's love ever run out? It's the length of His love. You know, we are able to love for a while, and then we are able to, I don't know, kind of kind of let that love lax, kind of stop feeding that fire, kind of let that go. Sometimes we have been capable, every one of us has been capable of a temporary kind of love. God's love has a length that is immeasurable. It never stops. The day you were born, God loved you with an immense love. The day you committed your first sin, His love continued. Today, when you walked in this room, you carried with you all kinds of baggage. And regardless of how much baggage you're carrying, His love, the same love He had for you when you were an innocent baby, that love is still full and still real. There is no limit to the length of His love. His love lasts for all eternity. When this life is over, His love continues. It's the length of His love, the breadth of His love, the length of His love, the height of His love. And when we think of His height, what we mean is that there is nothing that compares to that. There is no love that can compare to the height of God's love. His love is higher than the mountains. His love is higher than romantic love that is the closest thing that we kind of feel about love. His love is higher than a mama's love. His love cannot be compared to any love. And then we look at the depth. Paul prays that we'll understand the breadth and the length and the height and the depth of His love. Understand that God's love runs so deep that it's able to meet your deepest needs. Those hurts and those pains that you have buried way down in your psyche, deep down in your soul, that even your life mate doesn't know about some of that stuff. God knows. He saw it before you buried it, and He loves you still. His love is deeper than all of our deepest needs. When I was a teenager, we used to sing, "The love of God is broader than earth's vast expanse. 'Tis deeper and wider than the sea. Love reaches out to all to bring abundant life. For God so loved the world, His only Son He gave." We just need to begin to try to comprehend this kind of love. And Paul prays that we will. And look at verse 19. He says he wants us to understand all of these things, but look at the way he uses these words in 19. "And to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge." Okay, Paul, come on. He just prayed that we could know the unknowable. That you'll know that which surpasses knowledge. What is he talking about? How can you know that which you cannot know? How many of you know who Barack Obama is? You know who he is. How many of you know Barack Obama? How many of us know that God loves us? How many of us know the love of God? Paul prays that you will know, to experience firsthand, that which you cannot fully comprehend intellectually. That you will know what you cannot know. I know that water is two hydrogens and an oxygen hooking up and playing around together. Those two hydrogens and an oxygen hook up and play together, and then there's two hydrogens and an oxygen over here, and they get connected, and they all kind of play together, and before long, you got water. I know that. But knowing that does not satisfy my thirst. Understanding the principle of H2O does nothing to satisfy my thirst. It does nothing to fulfill me. It is not until I take that water and make it my own and drink it that I know what water does, that I know the water has become a part of me. Paul prayed so many years ago that you would not only know that God loves you, but that you would know His love. God wants you to experience His love, not just understand it, but to experience it. And beloved, I want you to know that when you really find His love, for me, it happened at a specific moment. And I don't remember the details of that moment, or I would freely share it with you, but I just remember that there was a specific moment when I moved from understanding that He loved me to experiencing that He loved me. And I'm telling you that when you find that love and you experience His love, it will change your life, your outlook, your attitude, your hopes, your dreams, your purpose. You become rooted, grounded in His love, because His love then defines your life. His love is bigger than your pain. His love is bigger than your need. His love is bigger than your sorrow. His love is bigger than your marital problems, than your money problems, than your personal problems. His love is bigger than your fear. His love is bigger than your anger. His love is bigger than your addiction. His love is bigger than your pride. His love is bigger than your past. His love is bigger than your sin. So it doesn't, I don't care. I don't care what sin you think is keeping you from God. Whatever it is, His love is bigger than that sin. And if you'll just repent, leave that sin behind, turn to Him, His love will welcome you home every time. His love is bigger than you are. Get out of the way and experience it. Father, thank You for loving us. Thank You for loving us. As Your Word says, You loved us before we deserved it. You loved us when we didn't know how to love You back. Thank You for loving. May we be overwhelmed by the reality of Your love. Father, as Paul prayed, we pray this morning that Your Holy Spirit would fill us in order to strengthen us, in order that we might have enough faith in Christ, in order that we would be overwhelmed with the breadth, the length, the height, and the depth of Your love. Father, don't let us leave here feeling unloved or questioning Your love. May every single person in this room leave this place today knowing Your love and ready to share it with others. Toward that end, if we need to make a commitment or a decision in order to move forward in our relationship with You, help us to do that right now, we pray. In Jesus' name.